540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel's negotiating with Hamas to free dozens of women and children trapped at Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza. CBS's Doug Williams has more from Tel Aviv.
They've made offers to help transport the babies there that are in need of medical care, either to a different hospital, the one still operating in Gaza, or in Egypt.
In California, President Biden's meeting with China's president on the sidelines of APEC. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
This meeting is expected to last for about 4 hours. And so they are expected to cover a wide range of issues, including artificial intelligence, including both of the wars going on.
The FAA put out a new report blaming a lack of funding and understaffing for close calls at airports. Dennis Tagers with the American Airlines Pilots Union.
The distance between error and incident has significantly narrowed, and we're seeing those incidents on the increase.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Roll into this Friday night and strike a chord of fun, food, and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. A Friday night live music party kicks off at 8 p.m. and goes until midnight.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An overhaul of Wisconsin's alcohol regulations is on its way to the governor. The bill got final approval in the Senate yesterday, would create a new Division of Alcohol Beverages within the State Department of Revenue. The new division would enforce state laws covering breweries, wineries, and distilleries, not to mention retailers and distributors. The bill would require liquor licenses for wedding barns. Home caregivers are asking for help from the legislature and Wisconsin hospitals. A bill called the CARE Act would require hospitals to work more closely with caregivers.
And this part is key. When caregivers have the training and instruction they need, we can reduce costly readmissions to hospitals.
Martha Cranley is director of AARP Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Shorewood, Whitefish Bay, and Wauwatosa are at the top of a list they probably don't want to be on. The Wisconsin Public Service Commission has a list out of the communities with the most lead service lines. 9 of the top 15 on the list are communities in southeastern Wisconsin. Financial help to replace lines is available in most places, with more than $500 million of taxpayer dollars allocated in the state, and specifically Milwaukee. In other years, it's been heavy snow and freezing temps in mid-November. However, when planning Winter Weather Awareness Week, they didn't necessarily foresee 65 and sunshine. The Waukesha County Sheriff's Office is trying to set you up for success when winter weather does come with weather awareness tips. They say to work now to get an emergency kit in your trunk with blankets, batteries, and booster cables. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Brewers hire a new manager. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers making it official today. They've promoted bench coach Pat Murphy to manager of the team, replacing Craig Counsell. Former Brewers infielder Ricky Weeks hired as associate manager. And last night, the Brewers trading two minor league players to the Phillies for infielder Oliver Dunn. NBA, the Bucks are on the road tonight in Toronto to take on the Raptors. Milwaukee coming off that win at home against the Chicago Bulls. NFL, the Packers getting ready to play the Chargers on Sunday. Green Bay has lost 4 of their last 5 games, but how did quarterback Jordan Love perform against the Steelers? Matt LaFleur.
Well, I thought he was playing with a lot of confidence. I thought he was pretty decisive, made some big time throws down the field. You know, he kept fighting and battling and gave us an opportunity right there at the end of the game and obviously came up short. But, you know, I just see a guy that continues to grow and develop and learn and, you know, takes the coaching really well.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Craigscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. clear skies this afternoon with a high of 62. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows around 39 tonight. Tomorrow, high of 63. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The owner of a Michigan rental that's called The Castle is being sued by a group of seven women who stayed there, found it consumed with bats.
Tell the best part, though.
The exterminator allegedly found multiple inches of bat guano kicking the floor.
I think I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. Oh, my God.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Dom. I've been eagerly anticipating the build-up to the release of the Kraken tapes. Wednesday, happy hour. It's time, baby. It is time to release the Kraken.
Release the Kraken.
We have the Kraken tapes for you, for your listening. And what are the Kraken tapes, Dom? These are the videotaped evidence given to Fannie Willis in the Fulton County, Georgia, right? The direct testimony before she made a deal, she made him make the videotape. And we also, Dom, we also found out who the leaker is. And you brought that to my attention. Do you have that information readily available?
I do. Jonathan Miller, according to NBCnews.com, Jonathan Miller, an attorney for Misty Hampton, made a confession today in court during an emergency hearing for a protective order that was prompted by the publication of parts of the video statements from Powell, Ellis, and Kenneth Cheesebro, Scott Hall, by ABC News and the Washington Post. The judge said he would issue a protective order barring the disclosure of certain discovery information by Thursday morning. Update on that. Apparently, it has been issued. Powell, Ellis, Cheesebro, and Hall were among the original 18 defendants charged alongside Trump. All four pleaded guilty to related charges. The proffered videos made pursuant to their plea agreements, which required they provide true and accurate information to prosecutors. Now, the attorney who releases Jonathan Miller for Misty Hampton, I believe she's a Coffee County elections official. Here's what the attorneys told Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee today during a hearing. Quote, "In being transparent with the court and to make sure that nobody else gets blamed for what happened, and so I can go to sleep well tonight, Judge, I did release those videos to one outlet. In all candor to the court, I need the court to know that." Asking why he'd done so, he noted that while the four's guilty pleas were public, to hide those proffers that show all the underlying things that went into those pleas, it misleads the public about what's going on. He said two of the defendants were directly related to my client, and I don't believe that either one of those hurt my client. If anything, I believe they helped my client, and the public needs to know that. The public has a right to know, Crudy.
Dominic, I hear a clear conscience makes a soft my pillow.
Is there such a thing?
A soft my pillow? I'm not clear that there are. So we know who released it.
We know who.
But we've got the what. We've got the Kraken tapes. We've got them for you. We've been building them up for a bit. Should we start with the Sydney Powell? This was the Kraken lady. She was the conspirator in chief, or at least that's publicly what she, at least what I thought she was. But to hear her tell it, there were some rabbit holes even the Kraken lady didn't want to go down. Not with Rudy Giuliani. Let's play it for the people. Sydney Powell, release the Kraken tapes. Cut one.
I think a month before he had muted and said, this is crazy. Like, he never told you, like, this is crazy. Stop giving me this information.
No.
What sort of things was he saying on December 18th specifically?
Well, he knew all his instincts told him he had been defrauded, that the election was a big fraud.
Okay, more of the Kraken tapes. What about his evidence? Cut two.
When you say his instincts, did he ever describe that in any way? Did he ever point to any kind of proof or evidence or anything he was getting from his other attorneys or experts?
Well, he talked about, you know, seeing the vote totals roll backwards on the TV.
Meaning on election night.
Yeah. And the unbelievable spikes, how far ahead he was in different states at the time all the machines stopped counting, and how it should have been impossible to make up that sort of vote difference without some kind of shenanigans. Just general instincts that something wasn't right here.
Like in Wisconsin, for say, maybe the absentee Milwaukee County ballots were counted and were reported en masse, as everyone had anticipated.
As is customary here.
But he didn't like the outcome because that put him behind in the polls and he lost this state and so many other states.
I can't believe I lost. It must be fraud.
More on Trump's instinct, right? Cut three.
But then on the 18th, the only real justification that he's giving you to why he's not bowing out is that his instincts tell him that he won.
That and the evidence that I'd showed him.
What evidence would that be? So
it's coming out in 2 weeks.
The president's spidey senses tingling, Dom. The former president, that's Trump. I tease a little. I don't think he's part of the Marvel Comics multiverse. More from the Kraken. Here's the part I find interesting. Sydney Powell describing her meeting with Rudy Giuliani. Cut four.
You remember the December 21st meeting with Phil Waldron and Mark Meadows and Rudy Giuliani that you went to?
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's the one where Rudy got really ugly.
Okay.
Yep. And that went to foreign interference.
And a little bit more on the meeting with Rudy. I wonder. I don't speculate, but I wonder. Was Rudy drinking heavily that day? Let's hear it from Powell. She doesn't really address that aspect. Cut number five of the Kraken tapes.
There was a big shouting match in which Rudy called me every name in the book. And I was the worst lawyer he'd ever seen in his life. There were no circumstances under which he'd work with me on anything. He called me a bitch and I don't know what all. And that's pretty much all I remember about that one.
That's all I got to say about that.
A very Forrest Gump-like answer.
Oh, wow.
Life is like a box of chocolates, Kraken like lady.
All the things Scott Walker said during the presidential campaign that he was not qualified to do. Whew.
Now, it's not a Kraken tape per se, but it is a confessed, convicted defendant tape. The pre-pleading tape of Jenna Ellis. Now, she's the one that sat in the Michigan, legislature or courtroom hearing next to the flatulent Rudy Giuliani, if I recall.
I believe that's correct. I mean,
Was she there with him at the Four Seasons landscaping business next to the dildo parlor? Was she there as well?
I don't recall. That was when the dye was running down the side of his face.
Well, that was the day after the election when, of course, he made the claim it was stolen. It was rigged.
So many interesting times. But Jenna Ellis now cooperating, pleading guilty, and on tape. And here's what she said about the boss. Nate, cut 7, please.
He had come up to me and introduced me to his family and had said, thank you for the work that you're doing for the president. And I said something to him like, I'm sorry that we haven't been able to do more. And I emphasized to him, I thought that the claims and the ability to challenge the election results was essentially over because of the dismissal of the Texas versus Pennsylvania case from the United States Supreme Court. And he said to me in a kind of excited tone, well, we don't care and we're not gonna leave. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, the boss, meaning President Trump, and everyone understood the boss, that's what we all called him. He said, the boss is not going to leave under any circumstances. We are just going to stay in power. And I said to him, well, it doesn't quite work that way, you realize. And he said, we don't care.
Now, that was a conversation that Ellis reportedly had with Dan Scavino, and he was a Trump White House official, I believe, came over from the Trump organization. The boss would refuse to leave. We're just not going to leave.
This seems a little damning.
Wow. I mean, it does. And so to the point. Now, Fani Willis, today they had this emergency hearing. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee on Wednesday said he would enter a protective order after evidence was leaked in the President Trump's election interference case. The release of these confidential video recordings is clearly intended to intimidate witnesses in this case, subjecting them to harassment and threats prior to trial, Fulton County DA's office said in a motion on Tuesday. Judge McAfee again has granted that. And also another headline here from the Raw story, Trump co-defendant in Georgia faces possible bail revocation after attacking witnesses. Who is this one? According to a motion filed by Fani Willis today, Harrison Floyd should have his bail revoked because he gave interviews to conservative outlets discussing the specifics of the case. And apparently, according to Raw story, goes on to attack Ellis and Dan Scavino and so on and so forth. But so now they're also trying to revoke his bail. We'll see what happens. No ending conclusion on that yet.
Dominic, former President Donald Trump's one-time attorney, Jenna Ellis, sealed her former boss's fate in her pro-offer video with the prosecutors in the Fulton County District Attorney's Office, made public in a leak this week. Right here on the Devil's Advocates radio show, we just made it public, Dom. That's the view of a former federal prosecutor, Glenn Kirshner, who sat for legal analysis with Brian Taylor Cohen. Here's what he said. This is a knockout blow on the criminal intent front. I mean, there's no way for Donald Trump to maintain even a little glimmer of hope of convincing people that he lacked criminal intent. Why, Kirshner continued? Because once you have more witnesses, your own lawyers, for goodness sake, saying, you know, you informed everybody that it didn't matter if you lost, you're not leaving. You're not relinquishing power. So this evidence is really something of a knockout blow that can be used to prove Donald Trump's criminal intent once and for all, conclusively, beyond a reasonable doubt. That'd be the standard in the court of law, wouldn't it, Dom?
I believe so, Michael.
Feeling better today? I like this leak. Yeah. Go give the leaker a hug. He did it for the people, for the audience of the Devil's Advocates radio show. 844-96-PARTY. Come on back.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Earn extra cash for the holidays. Visit Robert Half Diamonds for their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th. They'll buy your gold for real green, and you could walk away with tickets to see the green and gold score a touchdown in Green Bay. Score top dollar with an offer on the spot for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds, all in a relaxed atmosphere. Get free professional valuations from a local name and trusted company. You'll learn exactly what you have and what it's worth with the international experience at Robert Half Diamonds. Did you inherit jewelry that may not be to your taste but is sentimental? Why not convert it to something new and exciting? Or trade in your outdated pieces for something new? So many options. Robert Hack is having their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th and is paying cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield, just east of Moreland on Greenfield Avenue, or right on the corner of 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
The Kraken!
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy, happy hump day to us all. You can join us on the lines 844-967-2789.
What would you call that? Trash texting during the commercial break? You know, I should stand up right now.
Get off your butt. Get
off your butt. Couple of consenting adults.
What? You want a kiss? I'm not sure what's happening here.
You know, it's funny. The sound of the two named senator, the Mark Wayne Mullen guy. When you play back that tape and you don't have the full context that he's calling a man out for a fight, but if you play it a little out of context, it does sound like one man is sexually propositioning another man. Two consulting adult, consenting adults.
We can do it right here, right now.
Right here, right now.
I'm in. Get off your butt. You get off your butt.
I don't want to read too much, Tom, but
oh no, of course.
A few of the later night hosts did find some humor there last night.
Oh, it's just embarrassing, man. I mean, for real.
Well, he did. The Mark Wayne guy, Mark Wayne Mullen, Senator
Mark Wayne Mullen to you.
Well, he's got a new take on this, Tom, and I think we should play it for you. The audience, I don't think you, Dom, have heard it either, so let's play it, you know, just between us friends. Probably no one heard it on the Hannity show, and I got to say something. Our fine producer, Nate, and he's, you know, newer to the product, but not a young kid. But he played this for me during the pregame prep, and he said, oh, the other voice is Sean Hannity.
Sorry, I don't listen to Hannity every night, Crudy.
No one could, but I am well aware of what Ed Schultz used to call him, Slanthead, like a decade ago. I know what Hannity Slanthead sounds like.
Hey, now, you know, Hannity, he trains in MMA as well. You might be careful that you call him Slanthead. He might come after you. Get off your butt.
Well, I didn't know this Mark Wayne was a former professional MMA fighter, Dom. So when he's talking smack, he can back it up, unlike you.
Oh, come on, man. Bring it on. We'll start right now. You want to go? You want to go? I mean, it's
get off your ass.
I know. It's just right now. How terrible it sounds. I mean, when you see it like that, and I know he's supposed to be a senator and, you know, he should be more deliberative about it, but it's really bad when you see it. So when you see people acting all douchey like that, you know, all bro-sesh, just don't do that, because it's a bad look. It's like chewing gum on camera. Don't do that.
But I gotta say, the Teamster guy, I need to know what his
oh, ring so Mark weight Wayne's, is. He's 5'8", 170.
That's not a big man. That's
he's taller than me, but he's probably, you know, pushing that. So he's probably more like 5'7". I mean, you know how it is, Curdy. What's your license say on your weight?
215. I don't know. It's been a while. No, I'll
tell. 6'3", 215. You do, pulling the Trump, dude. You know what I'm saying? So the card, I don't
I'm
know.
I'm 240. I'm a man size.
He's a short guy, man. He's like my height.
I gotta tell you, if I don't care, and I'm not saying that I'm capable of matching up with an MMA fighter in a fair fight, not a guy my size, but a guy I got 60, 80 pounds on, maybe. Maybe I'd take him up on that, because I got to tell you, like Fancy Brian, our friend, Brian Kelly, enormous dude. And if you ever thought you were going to like fight this dude, he's got a plan.
Second move. Yeah.
He's got a plan. Just grab and fall. He's going to grab you and fall on you. And he's going to crush you like a bug. Uh-huh. There's no winning that fight against a dude that is so substantially larger than you. And I'm not saying there aren't some guys that could fight out there, but I got to tell you, if Mark Wayne called me out like that in the Senate chamber, I might stand my ass up as well.
I know, but the whole thing is so ridiculous. And sure. So apparently there was some, you know, jawboning, you know, online, you know, the keyboard warrior stuff between these two that precipitated this hearing. But the reality of it is, number one, of course, you're in the Senate, and you know we have self-governance and these deliberative bodies, so we don't have to fight in the streets. You know what I mean? It's kind of the antithesis of what we're trying to do here.
But Mark Wayne would tell you there is precedent here, Dom. Senators whooping each other's asses. It's happened before, and therefore it could and should happen again.
There is historically, yes, people have gotten into fights that are in government, but this is not something we should aspire to, man. You know, and what if all of a sudden you step up to that guy and you want to go down and he's a stand your ground guy? And the MMA doesn't stop the bullets. And so this is a continued escalation, right? I mean, this is not, and I don't know what the beef was. I haven't gone into the details between these guys, but when you stand up, Mr. 5'8 guy, you know, and who apparently in Newsmax interviews that I saw said, well, hey, what would happen if Sean O'Brien would have stood up? Well, I'd have jumped over the desk and gone after him. I'd have done this. And oh, you should have seen the look on his face.
Bring it. It's already been broadened.
All of that. This is the point, though, man. We're trying to avoid this, right? That's why we engage in self-governance and we do these things so we don't have to beat each other in the street. And this guy seems a little too eager to, you know, go back to the old days because, hell, Crudy, there's precedent for a civil war. There's precedent for a January 6th coup. It's been done. It can be done again, right, Senator?
844-967-2789. A new name, John from Wausau. Welcome, John. What do you got for us?
Hi, John.
Hey, I was just wondering, do you guys believe in cause and effect?
Sometimes.
Something which causes something?
Sometimes. Depends.
Sure.
Sometimes. Okay.
Is there a specific example for us, John?
Yes, I do have a specific example. So I'd have to find the article, but there was an article posted, I think, by the New York Times saying that if, like, Google, Facebook, Twitter, yada, 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 ran the Hunter Biden laptop story before the election and not try to hide it, that there was anywhere of like 2 million to 5 million people would have said they would not have voted for Biden or they would have changed their vote to somebody else. Now, if you were to take that 2 million to 5 million and sprinkle that across, you know, states that Trump lost, we don't even have any of this. Like, none of this would have ever happened. No insurrection, no January 6th, no fighting in Georgia, nothing like that.
You're assuming that would have caused people to vote against and Trump would have been elected president. That's what you're saying?
People have said that if they would have...
John, I believe that polling...
The Hunter Biden...
I believe that if fully informed, and there was an effort to sort of suppress that story, especially the New York Post coverage of the Hunter Biden story. Unfortunately, what I think happened, and John, I don't doubt your assessment. I don't doubt the New York Times assessment that the polling said enough people might have voted a different way. But the source material had been so polluted by Rudy Giuliani and some of his buddies, man. They put all kinds of stuff on this laptop. Now, Hunter Biden had all sorts of incriminating stuff on this laptop as well. But John, ultimately, he was not the guy running for president.
I understand that, but I'm saying people have said that if they would have heard about this story,
John, we're short on time. Hold tight, please, because I want to talk to you on the other side, because, you know, this could be a shoe on the other foot soon.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Sports.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There's a run on new opportunities for high-speed internet in rural Wisconsin. The state has $42 million worth of grants to give out, but the number of applications it got asks for more than $221 million. More than 251,000 locations in Wisconsin still lack service, and about as many have internet that's considered below current standards. Governor Evers is lifting lockdowns at state prisons in Waupun and Green Bay. Inmates have been confined to their cells since spring because of safety concerns and not enough guards. Inmates will soon get access to more prison programs, and some inmates in Waupun will be moved. The governor says he's also keen on hiring more guards. Starting pay for those jobs went up to $33 an hour in the new state budget. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A parents group in Menominee Falls is putting up a challenge to the school district's plan to ban 33 books from the high school library. The group argues that the books were initially included in the library based on a review process conducted by library media specialists. The school district claims that the removal of the books is in compliance with their policy and procedure, focusing on age appropriateness and limiting explicit content. Holidays on the Hop is set to return for its fourth season in downtown Milwaukee, offering live holiday-themed music and cookies on the city's streetcars. The initiative will also feature festive decorations at each of the 20 streetcar station shelters. AAA still has the Waukesha County average for a gallon of gas under $3. It is a little more in Milwaukee County today, only by a few cents. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The Brewers hire a new manager. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers making it official today. They've promoted bench coach Pat Murphy to manager of the team, replacing Craig Counsell. Former Brewers infielder Ricky Weeks hired as associate manager. And last night, the Brewers trading two minor league players to the Phillies for infielder Oliver Dunn. NBA, the Bucks are on the road tonight in Toronto to take on the Raptors. Milwaukee coming off that win at home against the Chicago Bulls. NFL, the Packers getting ready to play the Chargers on Sunday. Green Bay has lost four of their last five games, but how did quarterback Jordan Love perform against the Steelers? Matt LaFleur.
Well, I thought he was playing with a lot of confidence. I thought he was pretty decisive, made some big time throws down the field. You know, he kept fighting and battling and gave us an opportunity right there at the end of the game and obviously came up short. But, you know, I just see a guy that continues to grow and develop and learn and, you know, takes the coaching really well.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies this afternoon with a high of 62. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows around 39 tonight. Tomorrow, high of 63. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a happy hour, the Wednesday edition. And John from Wausau has kindly stuck around. John, I appreciate you doing so. Welcome back. We don't normally hold the callers, but kind of ran you up against the break there. So, John, I have certainly seen enough coverage sort of after the fact, bemoaning the fact that the Hunter Biden laptop story was not widely disseminated on social media, especially the New York Post coverage, which is a Rupert Murdoch thing. And I'd like to consider myself a fair umpire here. I do believe that certain people would have been influenced by this story had it been published broadly and thrown out there to the world. And it's hard to know for sure. You know, it's hard to disprove a negative, right, John? It's hard to know for sure if that would have changed the outcome of the election. But I think it's within the realm of possibility. I think it's within the realm. John, so what I would ask you to do, and I don't want to relitigate each elective cycle, but let's look back even 4 years further than that. Do you remember when Hillary Clinton's emails were widely disseminated? Do you remember when they started releasing them in tandem with the Democratic National Convention? And when I say them, they came through sort of Russian channels and Russian outlets. I forget who's the guy. The
Wikipedia,
WikiLeaks.
WikiLeaks, yes.
Yes, but we actually had a reporter that we interviewed, a guy named Ken Vogel, who was a former Badger, worked for Politico at the time, and we were at the DNC. We were in Philly, and that story broke, man. And we got the guy, we got the journalist, and we talked to him, John. And I got to tell you, those were some ugly stories. They were ugly stories, and they even made a guy like me, who probably is a little more left than you are, perhaps, John. They made me second guess the nominee. They made me wonder. As a show host, I found a hard time supporting Hillary Clinton because some of the information contained in that, those private emails, well, they colored my opinion of her. And in fact, John, they might have colored enough people's opinion here in the state of Wisconsin that they chose to vote for Gary Johnson, or maybe they voted for Jill Stein in 2016. And maybe it even changed the outcome of the election, theoretically. Can we agree that maybe it could have?
Well, and let me interject here also, fellas. It wasn't just those releases. It was also James Comey from the FBI coming out 2 weeks before the election, holding a press conference and talking about why he's not charging Hillary Clinton, but then kind of, you know, breaking her over the coals either way. So, I mean, I think you can look at that and wonder, certainly, could that have changed the outcome? Because if that happened, then John, and maybe if Comey didn't do that, then perhaps Hillary would have been president and we wouldn't have had Trump to even worry about whether or not January 6th would have happened. So we can go back and back and back on all these things, John. But if we may, and I appreciate you sticking around, man, I really want to know your opinion on this. It seems like the attitude, the brashness is getting worse and worse and worse. If you've listened, you hear what the senator from Oklahoma challenging a Teamster to a fight in a Senate committee hearing. John, when you hear those kinds of things, when you hear that the former speaker is elbowing a fellow Republican who voted to oust him, when you hear those kinds of things, what does it make you think? Do you think that's acceptable? What should we do to address those if you think they need addressing, John?
Yeah, it needs to be addressed. And I think they're just acting like children that need to be put in a timeout, essentially.
Well, John, we have that in common, don't we?
Yeah.
John, appreciate you listening. Are you listening on the Bull Falls radio there in Wausau?
Yes.
John, appreciate you doing so, man. I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving, and please consider calling us again, because I appreciate when we can have a candid conversation and we can agree that, you know, it's hard to prove or disprove, but probably both elective cycles were influenced by very significant events. And what I worry about, John, is the next elective cycle, right? Because I don't want to fight with you, dude. I want to find some common ground. I want to find the reason to come have a beer with you at the Dean Dome the next time we're in Wausau. Dom and I want to have a beer with you, dude. Yeah, the Bowl-a-thon. Right. You know, we want to find a way to find some common ground again, because at the end of the day, dude, I think so many of us think alike. And when they embarrass us, You know, we all want to throw the bums out, don't we?
Yeah, for sure.
Happy Thanksgiving, John. You going hunting?
You too. No.
Oh, he's not going hunting, so I won't say good luck with the buck. But be right. Well,
be
John.
Safe out there, everybody. Thanks, John.
844-967-2789. Against my better judgment, Tom, he's been a long ban, and the one day we gave him a shot, and then he was gone. But I invoked him, and I told this guy that I would like to get together before the holidays, just me and CJ, and have a private conversation. And CJ, I'm wondering, are you down, buddy? I mean, I think we could do it. I think we could lock ourselves in a room, and I think we could find some common ground for the holidays. What do you think, CJ?
Hey, CJ.
Hi, guys. Well, yeah, I'm down for that. The only issue is I might be traveling.
You going deer hunting?
Thank you for the offer. No, actually, I'm going across country to move my daughter and her family.
Oh. Well, that doesn't sound like much of a drag, doesn't no, CJ? Cross country moving thing. The fam?
Well, and it's a good thing. A great opportunity and job for them, so it's not a bad thing.
No. Well, here's the good news. We haven't had this heart-to-heart yet, CJ, so I don't feel any obligation to help you move people.
Got a pickup truck we can borrow, Crudy.
Because you know what? You know, a friend in need is a friend indeed. Dom and I had a move a lady one time, and it was a couple trucks worth.
To help me move me across country. But,
I think we would have volunteers from the audience, CJ. You might be surprised.
No. Well, I'm even surprised you picked up the phone, but I did get that message, and I would be up for that very much so.
When you got to travel with the kids, before the holidays or after the holidays?
Actually, it's right after.
Well, let's do it before the holidays, CJ. I got your number. I'll call you offline. And an hour. Lock ourselves in the box for an hour. And if it's worth listening to, CJ, if we don't beat the snot out of each other and threaten to stand up and start a fight, then I would like to play it out for the audience on Thanksgiving and see if there's something there worth hearing. Two human beings trying to find some humanity and two other human beings, or I think that makes four of us, but just two of us in the room. Anyway, CJ, the offer's open, humans. And I'll call you about it. But what did you want to talk about today?
Well, I just a few minutes that I heard you talking about admitting that the laptop was possibly to John was real. It's not the laptop that's the issue. It's the selling out of the Biden trade, you know, his brand and of our country. That's the issue for me.
Well, former Twitter employees described it as a mistake to have quote unquote suppressed the New York Post coverage, but they said there was no. Let's say acting in concert with the government. No one kept them from doing this. This was a corporate decision, and they admit after the fact it was a bad one, CJ.
How much money did the FBI pay and pay Twitter and Facebook to keep that information off? The FBI paid for them, Crudy.
I don't know. About
I haven't CJ, seen that reporting, CJ.
If I may, CJ. If I may ask you a question, if you're concerned, it's certainly about these kinds of issues of, and we have the current president, and presumably, you know, obviously Donald Trump is leading in the Republican primaries, and he's been charged in court with fraud. He's been convicted civilly of causing rape, let's put it. And he's been caught with all sorts of documents in his residence at Mar-a-Lago that he's also lied about and is going to trial for. Are though any of those things concerning to you as you would look to, you know, vote for a conservative in this election cycle, CJ? Are you still a Trump person or are you going anywhere else?
Well, do they concern me? Hell yes. Because I can tell you what, he's going to be convicted. He's going to be charged because in a few of those places,
Dom, he's not going to get a fair trial. The mere fact of what's going on about his property.
Do you think he would be convicted if he was given a fair trial? Let's say they move the jurisdiction. The same evidence that we've seen in the public, the tape we played, Jenna Ellis saying effectively they knew, but they weren't ever going to leave the White House. They didn't plan on quitting here, CJ. This was known. And the boss said, we're not leaving. The boss being Trump. Well, that shows intent. I mean, you just heard it on tape. Do you believe your own ears, CJ?
Well, here's the thing. I think everything should be exhausted, okay? Legally. And even the questioning of all those federal cases across the country, there is a difference between a audit, a true audit, and a recount, okay?
We had all of the above here in Wisconsin, CJ.
Some of those cases, there was not a true audit done of some of those areas.
Well, there was in Wisconsin. Do you believe what happened in Wisconsin? Donald Trump paid for recounts, right? And some conservative organization did their own.
Dane County, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty, the Legislative Audit Bureau. They all did their counts. Call it what you want.
When it was all said and done in Milwaukee, my understanding is Joe Biden got actually a couple of more votes. Do you, when the recounts and the audits and these things are done, CJ, here in the state of Wisconsin, do you believe the results?
Well, I do in the aspect of, here's the thing. Some of these changes that were made for these elections was due to COVID, but if they weren't run through our state legislature. And that's the thing. Who's the one, the election woman that I slips my
Megan
mind
Wolf.
That they were trying to impeach?
Megan Wolf.
Here's the thing. The mere fact that it went through, it's kind of like our spending federally. They want to keep our spending at the COVID spending, and that creates it's way more money than what we were spending them. That's what caused this.
CJ, we're going to have to get together for some turkey and some beer or something, man, because I can't follow all of that logic. But I want to continue having open-minded conversation, CJ. So I'll reach out to you, man, and you and I will take an hour and we'll solve all the world's problems in one day. 844-967-2789. Sneak in one or two more here before a fine guest, Liza Hellenbrand with the Empowered Caregivers. Keith from Middleton. Welcome, Keith. What do you got for us?
Hi, Keith.
Hey guys. I'm sorry. I'm listening to you guys talk to this last caller there. I don't understand why you're giving him any oxygen. I really don't. I mean, he's not a conservative. This, the difference between a conservative and a Republican, and conservatives are not Trump fans. True conservatives are not Trump fans. So just look at...
I don't care what he calls himself. Is he your neighbor, Keith? You might be surprised to find out the guy lives in Dane County here, and he shows up at bar parties and such.
He may be my neighbor, and we may shop at the same store, and I may say, hey, dude, you know what? You know, I'm sorry if I cut you off in traffic. I may be nice to him and so forth like that, but you know what? It gets to the point where I'm sorry. There's absolutely, it's nonsensical. Circular talk. No flipping sense. I'm sorry. There's no arguing with that.
Well, I'm not defending his logic per se, Keith, but just the concept of continuing to have open dialogue when possible.
Circular dialogue, as Keith might put it. Thanks for the call, Keith. Appreciate it.
Circular firing squad?
A little bit of that.
Liza Hellenbrand, our fine guest, coming next. She is the host of the Empowered Caregiver right here on the Civic Media Network. Her show kicking off at 7 o'clock tonight after the Maggie Dawn show. I think Anastasia's doing the heavy lifting there, but Liza's got a big guest. She's going to tell you about it next. More of the greatest radio show ever. Just ask CJ and our new friend from Wausau, John, I think his name.
Don't forget Keith from Middleton.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Did you know there are some secrets behind the long-running popular Trans-Siberian Orchestra concert?
Organized chaos.
That's my favorite kind of show.
That's the best show ever.
Al Petrelli is the music director, guitarist, and an original member of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. TSO kicks off its winter tour in Green Bay November 15th.
That not only is there two shows in Green Bay on November the 15th, there's a show in Council Bluffs, Iowa on the 15th.
But that's not all. In 46 days, TSO has 104 shows.
This thing grew up. It opened its eyes 28 years ago. It has grown up and broken every rule.
Breaking rules by taking two TSO bands on the road to perform in two cities almost every night. The tour ends in Milwaukee, 62 cities after Green Bay. One other secret, every stop includes a portion of the ticket sales given back to local charities. Learn more at trans-siberian.com. I'm Terry Barr.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure you download the Civic Media app. Go to your favorite app store. Get the Civic Media app. Take the Devil's Advocates with you everywhere you go. Click on a button to text or to call. Check your app stores, the Civic Media app.
It's a lot of places. I can't keep track of
that. Just look for it. Just go get it. It's super cool.
Dom, I've been joined by a fine guest here in the Solidarity Realty Studios, the 92.7 FM WMDX studio. She is Liza Helen Brand. She's the host of Empowered Caregiver. And that's the show that comes on Wednesday nights right here on the Civic Media Network at 7 o'clock. And it has been a big week for the caregiver right up there at the state capitol. I know you've been up lobbying and advocating. So let's start. Why this week? What's going on this week?
This was a great week. So up at the Capitol, the AARP, along with some other organizations, did a press release to really push the CARE Act. The CARE Act is already in law in most of the states. I believe we're one of maybe nine states that don't have it in place. And what it does is it requires hospitals to identify who the family caregiver is, notify the family caregiver when the patient, their loved one, is being discharged or transferred. And the key point of the whole bill is to make sure that the caregiver has the training that they need to be able to provide the care required at home.
And I did hear some of the press coverage actually right here on the Civic Media News earlier today. A lot of the lobbying took place yesterday, but your show tonight, you got a big guest. So who's your guest and why this guest?
Gotcha. Yes, this is what I'm super excited about. So tonight I am having the director and producer of the multi-award-winning documentary Unseen, How We're Failing Caregiver Parents and Why It Matters. I might have.
You're doing that by memory. I'm quite impressed. Well, Dom would never pull that off.
I'm less so. I am a little worried that I might have got that right. But it's yes, it's about family caregivers that are in the extreme family caregiving situation. And what I mean by that is they are family caregivers that are caring for people that back in the 50s, 60s probably would have been institutionalized. And somewhere along in the early 70s, we started to realize that the institutions really weren't much more than warehouses for people with disabilities, and that that was wrong, and that's not the life that they deserved, and that they should be commuted are included in the community, which is yes, 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 yay, yay, and hurrah. However, that means the institutions had closed, and these people with disabilities are now being cared for by their parents 24/7, nonstop, most of the time with no help because of the high needs. People don't feel comfortable volunteering to help. There's not the respite providers out there to have the paid support. So these people are doing it nonstop, and it is literally killing them.
Liza Helmer, host of the Empowered Caregivers. it's what a situation. Of course, we're all either with our children or with our parents, or you know, if life will throw us curveballs, but at some point we care for others. And in those kinds of situations where it's almost a job, right? If the parents weren't caring for these kids and perhaps, you know, adult children, they'd be in the state. They'd be someone else. The state would be responsible for caring for them. Is there support? I mean, monetarily, if you take care of elder parents or young kids, can you get reimbursed from the state for the time and effort and money you spend in those efforts?
It's very iffy. There are certain, you know, populations, groups of people with disabilities that have IRIS funding and different funding that will allow for parents to get paid, but overwhelmingly, no.
I'm sorry, the camera is following me around the studio. It really needs to be on her.
Oh, it's probably for the best. Yeah.
No, trust me, Liza, it's not.
You're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We've got the fine host of the Empowered Caregiver, Liza Hellenbrand, and the filmmaker, the documentarians, this award-winning documentary. The subject matter is caregiving. But I know you've watched this thing at least once recently. You've been paying close attention, and you seemingly found this quite engrossing.
Oh, they did an amazing job. It deserves to win many more awards. The lens through which they portrayed the families going through this and the experts that they had on to speak on their behalf were exquisite.
And Liza, again, how big a problem is this caregiver problem? I know you continue to remind me and the other host here at Civic Media, you know, this is on the Biden agenda. This is a front and center problem from the top down. But why? How big a problem is this numerically?
Caregiving affects about 1 in 5 Americans. And the saying goes that either you are a caregiver, you're going to need a caregiver, you've been a caregiver, or there's another one that I'm forgetting in the mix. But the point of it is that it impacts just about everyone at some point in their life.
And again, the Empowered Caregiver Show, which will come up here after the Maggie Dawn Show, right here on the Civic Media Network. If you don't have it on your local station, you can find it on the Civic Media app. Go to the WMDX channel. But again, the Today Show is specifically about this documentary. But if people just want to go watch the documentary and hear why you're so excited about it, how can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone should watch it. I mean, it should be required watching. But what you can do is they have it on, you know, I have it on my Facebook page, The Empowered Caregiver. I can't think of the site that it's on. If you Google it, Unseen, How We're Failing Family Caregivers and Why It Matters, it should pop up. It'll bring you the link. There is a code, Empowered, that they gave me. So if you do look at it, if you do go to watch it, it's $10 for the month of November for National Family Caregivers Month. Enter the code Empowered. I will get that information on my show tonight so everybody knows exactly how and where to find it.
The Empowered Caregiver Show, the host, Liza Hellenbrand. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Network. That goes off at 7 o'clock. I want to thank our earlier fine guest here in the Solidarity Realty Studio. She is State Minority Leader Melissa Agard, our friend. And tomorrow, James Santel did a little fundraiser. Thank you to the Blue Sky Waukesha people for having me out at the residence. Someone's private residence seemed quite nice. And Jim, a gracious lead-in. He's going to join us on the air tomorrow. What time, Dom?
5 o'clock. James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Morning Cannolis on Saturdays.
It's a singular. There's no S on cannoli.
There's always more cannolis.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Roll into this Friday night. And strike a chord of fun, food, and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. A Friday night live music party kicks off at 8 p.m. and goes until midnight every Friday night. And the best part of this party? There's no cover charge. While you're having fun, grab dinner and take advantage of $2 off all sandwiches on Friday night. This Friday night, enjoy the music of American Graffiti, 2440 West Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Call 262-544-2010 or check out foxviewlanes.com. Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always